Biz lover. We got the same kind of stuff over, under, and around us. It's the door, it's nothing.
I could use the Earth Mother's force.
Nobody said anything. Rick looked up at her.
Earth Mother? What's that, Christy? Sounds like hippie talk in the psychedelic 60s.
You know what it does to you.
Got a better idea, lover?
She smiled at him.
I'll be all right. Just need a rest after I've done it.
Take no notice of Richard Ginsburg. Just pretend he's not there. The Invisible Man, that's what I am.
Sorry, let me explain. From when I was a skinny sprat back in the Ville of Harmony, I was being trained, taught certain, well, powers, I guess. My mother, Sonia, always told me to strive for life. Now, if I go inside myself, I can sometimes get the power. I can't describe it any other way, Rick.
Let me try the door one more time first. He'd only seen Christy use the mysterious power on a few occasions, but he'd seen how his woman was devastated by the after effects. The handle moved an inch or so, then it stopped solid. The doorframe looked as if it had been twisted and warped, probably the result of the Earth shifts caused by the massive nuking.
Nope, not gonna move from me.
I'll try it. You all might as well sit down a while. It takes a little time.
Ryan hunkered down next to Rick, while the other three ranged themselves around the six-sided gateway. Doc managed a half-smile in Ryan's direction, then folded his arms on his bony knees and lowered his head onto them. Christy turned away and leaned against the cool glass wall, closing her eyes, relaxing her whole body. Her arms hung loosely at her sides, and her lips moved as she began to psych herself into the mystic depths of her arcane power.
Gaia, aid me. Send me the blessed strength of your power. Draw it from the earth and the sea, from the mountain and the valley, from the sky, the sun, and the moon, from the cold stars, from the desert and the lake, from the chem storm and the tumbling wind.
She swayed back and forth, fists clenching. Ryan watched her closely, seeing the trickle of crimson blood from her hands, where her own nails were gouging half moons from her skin. Christy moved a few steps to her left until she was pressed against the door. Her flaming mane of hair shifted uneasily, coiling at the nape of her slender neck.
Gaia, Gaia, help me. For Mother Sonia and all her wisdom. For nail and skin. For eye and tooth. And for the blessing of the blood. Gaia, help me for the blessing of the blood.
She was trembling as though a fever possessed her.
Gaia. Oh, Gaia, help me. Give me the power. The power. The power. Now!
She seized the lever in both hands, putting all her strength against it. Ryan could actually hear her muscles cracking with the enormous strain. The soles of her boots creaked against the floor. Veins stood out across her temples like throbbing cords, the sinews in her jaw tightening.
Jesus H. Christ!
The door handle still hadn't moved.
She can't do it.
I thought she could. Nope. Wrong, I guess.
Yes, yes, Miss Raw. Yes, it does move.
The metal broke apart, and the chamber entrance began to swing open. Christy let go her hold and slumped semi-conscious to the floor, but Ryan was just in time to catch her. Rick quickly went to examine the broken lock on the chamber door.
Yeah, but the only problem is, Christy bent the handle and ripped the lock apart. Could be difficult to get the little booger patched up ready for when we want to jump out of here. Wherever here is.
Christy was on the smooth floor now, her head cradled in Ryan's lap. The sentient hair had gone limp, seeming to lose its bright color. Her eyes were closed, and her skin was parchment pale. Ryan was chafing her hands between his. The supernatural effort of wrenching the jam door open had carried her over the brink of total exhaustion. Her pulse was fluttering and irregular, her breathing shallow.
How long before the sweet child has recovered sufficiently for us to continue with our perilous voyage of exploration?
An hour or so.
Ryan began smoothing Christy's forehead with his long, muscular fingers. She opened one eye and managed a weak smile before licking her lips.
Make that a day or so, lover. Could do with a drink. Anyone got any pre-nuke brandy? Uncle Tyus back in Harmony had a dozen bottles. Used to have a sip on special occasions. breakfast I ever had.
I guess that means you're feeling a whole lot better.
I feel like I might not die after all, but I'd surely like some eats and some drink. Calling on the Earth Mother always drains me right down.
Ryan glanced at JB questioningly.
Ready to move?
Why not?
Everyone was standing except Christy. She shrugged off Ryan's hand and pulled herself to her feet, with a little help from the gray wall. She shook her head.
Something's not right. Don't know what, but I can feel it. The air, or... dunno.
Well, we can't just wait around here. Let's go.
Ryan led the way, blaster cocked and ready. Everyone else had their handguns drawn, except Rick. Despite all of Ryan's efforts and the urging of the others in the group, he'd steadfastly kept to his old 90s pacifist beliefs. Shortly before they'd left Snakefish, Rick had been forced by circumstances to finally use a blaster against another human being. But he'd hated the experience, and was not too thrilled with his new friends who had compelled him to pick up a loaded gun and squeeze the trigger. He was unarmed now, except for the heavy bamboo cane. Ryan knew what to expect beyond the damaged door to the gateway. There would be a small room about 12 feet square, probably completely empty. Most of the buried and hidden redoubts that they discovered so far had been deserted and abandoned. Beyond the antechamber would be the main control room for the Matrans unit, filled with flickering lights and humming computers. All of the massive fortress complexes had been run by independent nuke power plants. Most of these still functioned, even after 100 years of neglect. And beyond that control room would be the locked sec doors that sealed the gateway off from the rest of the redoubt. Normally, if there was danger, it came when those doors were opened. Ryan stepped outside the chamber, pausing and glancing quickly around.
This one's not the same.
There was no small anteroom. The armaglass door swung back to reveal a control room, but it was tiny compared to the others that they'd seen. Barely 20 feet across, with a single, simplified master console. Ryan recognized some of the basic command units from other redoubts.
Why so small?
Experimental? Or just a really small redoubt?
Rick limped heavy-footed around the comp displays.
There's some state-of-the-art technology in here. A lot of real costly miniaturization and laser tech boards. But not experimental, JB. No way, Jose.
Doc ran a finger along the top of one of the desks, showing it untouched by dust.
This place is inordinately clean, is it not? And I do believe... yes.
He stooped and peered underneath.
I think we should exercise a little care in what we touch in this place.
Why?
Ryan knelt down and looked where the old man pointed, then straightened slowly.
I see what you mean, Doc.
Is someone going to tell me what's wrong?
The place is booby-trapped. Nice little packets of Plasex. Some shiny detonators and plenty of red wire and green wire, and even some blue wires.
Sabotaged, you mean? Well, who would do that? And why? It isn't as if the good old US of A was in any danger of being invaded. Who were they hoping to catch?
Could be demolition charges. Could be they were just taking precautions.
JB scratched the side of his nose, looking carefully at the wiring, but not touching anything.
No, definitely anti-personnel. Not big enough to blow the building. Take your head off in a messy kind of way.
Can we cut him?
Not a lot of point. Nothing on the deck here we need.
But remember, we still have to repair that door, or we don't get out of here again.
Rick had been looking at the damaged portal to the gateway.
Not easy, lady. Not easy at all. The main contacts need...